This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. So all questions of ethics and accommodations aside, let's get down to brass tacks regarding U.S.-Japanese relations, as that's probably the most important element in this meeting upcoming between President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Jim Chofe is the senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, former senior advisor for East Asia Policy at the U.S. Office of the Secretary of Defense during the Obama administration, when U.S.-Japanese relations were particularly close.
The U.S.-Japan relationship has really grown and evolved since the end of the Cold War. Of course, it was built on the idea of stationing U.S. troops in Japan to help provide for Japan's defense, but really to contain the Soviet Union during the Cold War and build up Japan economically. We had a lot of economic friction in the 70s, 80s, and 90s because of unbalanced trade rules, but that has really leveled out. Japan is a massive investor in the United States, second largest investor in the U.S. It is the largest foreign employer in the manufacturing sector in the United States. Our relationship has become much broader and closer. We collaborate now on global health problems and dealing with the refugee crisis in the Middle East. And even though Japan is not there militarily as a partner, it is there in almost every other way, financially and in international organizations, etc.
Would you say the Trump administration seems to be or has walked back some of the rhetoric as this meeting begins?
A little bit. And I think that's a function of more voices coming to the table, including the vice president, who was governor of a state that had a lot of Japanese investment, auto investment. You know, there's no internal pressure really to fix or change the relationship with Japan. Trump himself is stuck a little bit in the 1980s, perhaps, or 90s image of Japan as being an unfair trader. Back then, the Japanese percentage of the U.S. trade deficit was about 40%. They made up about 40% of our trade deficit. Now it's about 9%. Trump's concerns that we're getting kind of ripped off for providing all this security to Japan, but Japan doesn't pay 100%, even though they pay a lot for our forces over there. But I think he's beginning to understand that the U.S. gets a lot of value from having those forces and presence in Asia as well. The hope is that this kind of comes together, that there's a personal connection, and that Trump begins to see, okay, these guys aren't so bad, and they may have their arguments over trade, but hopefully we don't go back down to this kind of back-to-the-future zero-sum trade negotiation, because I think that would be detriment to both countries.
Finally, is there a regional interest in the Taiwan question? The Trump administration, if not walking back the rhetoric, has certainly erased a few question marks about whether the president actually supports the status quo regarding China and Taiwan, as opposed to trying to create some new to-China policy that hasn't existed since the Nixon years. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a fine line from Japan's perspective. On the one hand, they want the United States to be very present in the region and to take a relatively tough line vis-a-vis China because of China's kind of coercive, aggressive acts in the South China Sea, the East China Sea. So to have the U.S. pushing back harder and questioning things regarding China is I think, helpful to Tokyo sometimes. But they certainly don't want a major conflict or a major break in U.S.-China relations because that could really disrupt the regional economy. Japan has a lot of investment in China as well. And they want a good, positive, but comfortably tense U.S.-China relationship. And that's the fine line that we're going to be walking.
Jim Chofe is a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a former senior advisor for East Asia Policy at the U.S. Office of the Secretary of Defense during the Obama administration. Jim Chofe, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John. Pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.